Just gave me three words, garments of praise. Garments of praise. So that's what I want to talk to you about, the garments of praise. And you just have to kind of look over me. I'm probably a little slow, but I hope we'll get to where we got to go. So I will be in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to read the first three verses here. And I'm going to look at those garments of praise, because I was thinking just a minute ago what Tina said, and I thought, man, garments of praise. Garments of praise. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now, where are they mourning at? They're mourning in Zion. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but you've been brought to Mount Zion. You have come to Mount Zion. He's talking to the church people here.
Yeah.
The church people that are mourning.
Yeah.
To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And here's the phrase we're going to look at. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise. Now, Jesus quoted part of this verse over here in Luke chapter 4. Isaiah is a prophecy about 600, 700 years before Jesus comes along. And here Jesus steps up and He claims it. I don't know if you got that or not, but Jesus opened the book and turned to this prophet Isaiah and began to read it, and He claimed it as His own. That's just a little hint for you there. There's some things that you might have to claim for your own. Let me flip over there. We just got to go look at this. Luke chapter 4 real quick. I believe I got Luke in this Bible. Yeah, Luke's in it. Yeah, it's the Bible with Luke in it. I mean, Jesus, he found in the book Isaiah, when He had opened the book, where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." 600 years ago was a prophecy. Jesus claims it for His own. It was a prophecy about Him, but He says, "Hey guys, here I am." "To preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. Gave it back to the preacher. Sat down. Everybody's looking at Him in the whole church. You know, I mean, I can just see Him preaching this little sermon here, and then just sitting down. Everybody's looking at Him like, "What did He just say?" And then He says these astounding words. He says, "This day." When is this day? This day is today. It's now.
Amen.
"This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears."
Yes.
I don't know if you get a hold of that. A lot of people is waiting on some day way over yonder, but He says this. He told them guys sitting right there, "Today. Today is the day of salvation." And He said, "Guess what? Salvation has shown up." They knew the scriptures. They knew what was going on. "This day." Now I just want you to keep that thought. Take that thought, put it on the shelf, and we'll come back. Let me go back over here to Isaiah. I believe it's still here. Yeah, Isaiah. Should have got me one of them little doohickeys. Flip back and forth. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes." Now I got to talk about a few of these words here, okay? Beauty for ashes. We talked about this on Wednesday night. The word beauty. It's a Hebrew word, but what it means is it's a garland. Y'all know what a garland is? It goes around your head, a wreath. With flowers and leaves that goes around your head. So I'm going to give you that garland. I'm going to give you that garland right there. Beauty for ashes. The garland for ashes. the oil of joyful mourning, the garment of praise. And then he says, for the spirit of heaviness. What he means there is, instead of the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to give you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Now I've got to look at this word here, this heaviness. Just bear with me here a little bit. The spirit of heaviness. What in the world does that mean? I think we know, but I want to dive into this word just a little bit. It means feigning. It means dark. It means, it's also, you heard of the smoking flax. It's that word, smoking flax. Now that word comes from candle because they used oil lamps. So with the smoking flax was the wick. And you know, when the wick is out of oil, it just smokes. And it'll fill the room with a bad smell because it's a smoking flax. And Jesus, he took this prophecy. And he said it was speaking of him. And he says, you know what, guys? The Holy Spirit is upon me. The Holy Spirit was upon Jesus, and this was his agenda. He didn't just show up. He came with an agenda. All right? You know what an agenda is? You get up and you go to work. You got an agenda. You got something you got to do.
Yeah.
So he came to do something. He came to fulfill. I got to throw this at you just a little bit. He came to fulfill the will of God. Let me say that. You know, I know a lot of people in church worlds today that somebody's told them, you got to go find the will of God for your life. Well, and they think God has hid the will from you. You know, like you got to walk down the street and go across the field and it's under a black rock near a tree. And they spend their whole life looking for the will of God. Let me tell you something. The will of God is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he lives in you. The will of God is in you.
Yes.
You got to look for it. He found you when you wasn't looking. Jesus is the will of God. He's the very plan of God. He's the very purpose of God. What was that will? God the Father sent God the Son.
Yeah.
I say it that way. I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He sent God the Son into humanity to achieve our salvation. Isaiah 61 here is a good description of our salvation. You know, I know a lot of church people, they don't have this kind of salvation. A salvation full of joy, a salvation full of praise. You know, they don't have that kind of salvation. They got a salvation full of mourning. Woe is me.
Yeah.
Now listen, I you know, sometimes it's good when you go to church and maybe you hear something a little bit different and you get stretched a little bit, and that's okay because the more you get stretched, the more full you get of Jesus, if I can say it that way. So, I believe you go to heaven when you die. Don't get me wrong, but salvation is a lot more than going to heaven when you die. If that's all I get, guys, it don't do me no good because I got some rough days. You know, I don't know where Taylor went to, but I was about to talk about teenagers because I got one about the same age. Yeah. Troubled times. I know all about the spirit of heaviness. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Bless Taylor. Bless his mom and dad. But salvation, guys, it gets into every detail of me. All of me. It does. I mean, it works its way in, man. It's like oil. You know, put oil on, man, you rub it in, it works its way in everything. Because when Adam fell, now, I don't know if you think about this or not. Sometimes we don't. When Adam fell, the whole Adam fell. In other words, it's why Brad's in business. Because Adam's emotions fail. Adam's mind failed. Adam's body failed. Everything about him fell into darkness and despair. Okay? Everything. So salvation has got to be worked in, not just in my body, but my mind, my will, my emotions, my thoughts, my desires. Salvation.
Yes.
I'm not working for salvation. I'm working from salvation. His imagination failed. You know, imagination is a good thing, brother, when it's filled with light. But when it's full of the lie and darkness, is why we have the atrocities that we have going on around us all the time. Isaiah 61 has given me the will and desire of the Father. This is what He desires to do, to give you the garments of praise.
Yes.
It's His purpose in Jesus' covenant. This is God's will for you and me to be fulfilled in you and me. Now here in the salvation that we're talking about here in Isaiah, he's talking about joy. He's talking about praise over and apart from mourning, from heaviness, from the darkness, from stress, from anxiety, from everything the fall brought. Every time you see somebody in stress and anxiety, man, there's the fall. There's the fall at work. There it is. I mean, I still see it today. It's still at work in people. The lie that comes in. And he's talking. I mean, he's talking to mourners in Zion. When I hear the word Zion, man, I got a key in, Pat. I got a key in. I know he's talking to me because I've come to Mount Zion. That's what Hebrews told me. I've come to Mount Zion. I haven't come to a dark mountain that couldn't be touched. I have come to an innumerable company of angels and Jesus. That's where I've come, Mount Zion. But yet there can be mourning going on in Mount Zion. People come into the church with a spirit of heaviness. Now, when I think of mourners, I don't know what y'all think about when you think about mourners. I think of funerals, don't y'all? I think of people going to a funeral, the mornings, they got their black suits on, their black dresses on. So mourning is associated with death. You see, death. What's he going to do? He's going to give them a garland. For all those that are mourning there in their clothes and everything they got on, and he's going to give them a garland. He's looking for all the ones who are mourning. And he says, you know what? I'm going to trade you. I'm going to trade you. I'm going to take your mourning and I'm going to give you this garment, this garland. Garland, you know, that's what I'm going to put this thing on your head. Because what you know what the Hebrews would do? The Hebrews, when they would go to a funeral, man, they would put on their mourning clothes. They would put ashes in their hair. You could tell. I mean, you look around in Hebrew and you'd say, oh, there's Brad. He's got ashes in his hair. Must have been to a funeral today. Because that's what he would have. Haven't? I mean, you could just spot it out. It's ashes in his hair. He says, I see you got ashes in your hair. Let me get them ashes out of your hair. Let me give you this garland.
Yeah.
Let me give you this garland right here.
Yeah.
This crown. This crown. That's what Paul said. This crown. And you, I want you to just think about how this garland was, because they would have game. And think about this garland like you just won the Olympics, and you're brought up on the podium, and you're being honored, and you're putting the ribbons around your neck, they're putting the garlands in your hair. You understand what I'm saying? He says, you've been mourning. Well, hang on there a second. Let's get the ashes out of your hair. Let's bring you up here in a place of honor. You with me? Place of honor. Place of celebration. Everybody I see standing on the podium just won the 100 meters gold medal. They got a bouquet of flowers. Don't they? They got a bouquet of flowers, and I'm going to give you some beauty. I'm going to give you some garland for the... Yeah. All of gladness. Instead of that stench of death. That sweet smell. They would put that. I mean, in celebration times when the Hebrews went up, their body, they would be smelling good. Everybody would know. They knew the difference. Okay, I see Brad over there. He's got ashes in his hair. He's in mourning. I smelled Joe before I even seen. Man, he must be going somewhere. He's dressed. He's in celebration. You see the difference? Instead of instead of putting ashes in your hair, you put on this garland. Celebration. And then at the end of that, I ain't even got to where I'm going yet. At the end of that, he says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise. Garment of praise. Give you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Now, when you think about heaviness, I want you to get this word here. It's the spirit of feigning, of heaviness, of burden. Burdened down with whatever's harassing you. You ever had anything just harass you? Just aggravate the fire out of you? It's causing you to faint, man. I'm worn out. I'm beat down. I'm tired. It's draining me. Have you ever been just drained? Got nothing left. Spirit of heaviness. I mean, this thing's not only physical. I have been drained physically, but the worst is mental, emotional. I'm spent. Worn out. It leads to me being disheartened. I'm in despair. I feel all hope is gone. You ever felt that way? Hope is gone. I mean, guys, listen, I know y'all feel it. I know you have. I mean, sometimes even Joel sometimes. I know Joel sometimes, because I know he's a preacher and I'm a preacher and we try to anyway. And sometimes you come out and you think, what's the use? Why try? Don't you? I mean, you feel that, and you, because it'll sneak in on you. You know what? I don't know how, but dirt gets in my house. I don't know where it comes from or how it gets there, but it sneaks in. Sometimes I think somebody breaks into my house and puts dirt in my house. How does it get there? The same person that breaks dirt in there opens up water bottles and leaves them are laying around the house. Of course, that guy's gone. His name's Zach. But anyway, it'll sneak in on you. It comes through the door. It comes in. It gets on your clothes. And you know what I mean? It comes in. Out of that, when my hope is gone and I'm weary, I'm burned out. You know what happens? It produces fearfulness. It produces this sense of I'm failing. You ever feel like your dad gone failure? And you could be the most successful person around and you feel like a failure. Yes. Happens to us all. Yeah. If it ain't happened, just wait. Yeah. It will. Yeah. I feel it's drawing the strength out of me. See? Like that smoke and flax is just barely burning. You know, the oil's gone. The oil is gone. Run out of oil. It also means in this word heaviness, it means nearly blind. You know what that means? That means I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. It's also used to describe an ineffective life. What a live and die, know that you make no effect. I heard a guy tell me one time, a preacher one time, he said, brother, I don't feel like I'm reaching nobody. I feel so ineffective. I said, but in spirit of heaviness, see it. Spirit of heaviness. I mean, you know, Paul would talk about this, and Solomon, the great king, he would call it vanity. Paul would call it futile, empty, going nowhere. It's just heavy. Isaiah calls it a spirit of heaviness. Spirit. You know what spirit is? That's pneuma. That's wind. That's breath. It means there's something that I can't see. I can't put my finger on it. I don't really quite know what it is, but it's got me. It's blowing through my life. It's breathing down my neck. You ever felt that? It's breathing down my neck. It's like a foul wind. I don't know if you guys ever been around a swamp. Smell the old nasty swamp smell that just blows in on you. You're just going about your business, and all of a sudden the nasty smell comes and gets on you. And here you go, the bog is alive. Causes a spirit of fear, a spirit of failing. I read where Paul is writing to his son Timothy. Put you in remembrance to stir up the gift. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a gift. He said, I'm going to stir the gift up that's already in you.
Yes.
Amen. You understand? The gift's already in you. You ain't got to do nothing for the gift. You're born with the gift. The gift is already in you. I'm going to stir that up by the laying the hands on you. But God has not given us the spirit of fear.
That's right.
He's not given us the spirit of failing. the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of fainting, but the spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
You reckon Paul got this right out of Isaiah? Oh yeah. Paul knew Isaiah. Sound mind. The people who live in the spirit of fear, drawing, draining them and feigning heaviness. It's a life that they live that feels disconnected. You ever feel disconnected? You know, I bet half the people that go up there to see Brad feel disconnected. And you know what disconnection is? Death. That's separation. That's what death is. Death reigned, the scripture says. Death used to reign. But Jesus came and destroyed him that had the power of death. Death reigned. Separation reigned. People today, social media today, they're never more alone than they were at any time in the face of mankind. They feel disconnected. Disconnected. Life is draining. We were never, listen, let me repeat that. We were never intended to draw life out from ourselves. Wasn't made that way. We think we are sometimes. We think we can be self-motivated and all that stuff, but you wasn't made that way. You was made to draw from Him who is life, who lives in you. And listen, as a Christian, and you know it, you guys are believers. The moment you step outside of trying to live from Christ, you know it. Because the spirit of heaviness will meet you right now. I mean, it'll get all over you. You think, how did I get here? What am I doing here? Because you'll see, I mean, we step out. We were intended to draw our life from Him who is life. Jesus said, I come. Why? I came that you might have life. Included in that life, guys, is joy. Because He came that your joy might be full. I thought when you got to be a Christian, you had to be a prune. Joel's laughing. He believes it. He said, amen to me. You got to be a prune. You know what I'm talking about, guys? Listen, I've been around. Oh, God, I'm just going to church. I'm just a humble old sinner saved by grace. Where's the joy at, man? I can get that at a bar. Oh, yeah, man. George Jones is a Coors Light, man, and I'm, woe is me. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Tracy's putting her head down. I'm telling you the truth. I can get the spirit of heaviness anywhere. I don't need to come to church to get the spirit of heaviness.
Right.
I need some deliverance.
Yeah.
I need some deliverance. So this really, and you know, I know people that come to church, and I thank God, I listen to you guys. I do. I listen to you guys. Pull you up on Facebook. Me and Brad's got to talk. I heard his last wisdom message. We got to talk.
Am I in trouble?
You're in trouble. I'm just kidding. Something about a commode. You didn't think that stuff got out, did you? The heaviness was on you. Amen. But you know, you come into the church and people will try to put the heaviness on you. You come into the church and they'll say, oh, look, you know what, you got to keep these commandments. Here's what you got to do to serve God. Here's what you got to do to make God happy. And you put the spirit of heaviness right on you and here you go. Yeah. And you know what happens? I'm just going to tell you what happens, guys. I know right now you're going to fail. And what happens when you try your best and you fail? The first thing that happens is, oh man, I let God down. I messed up. And then condemnation comes on me. Shame comes on me. So then I go back to church and I go rededicate myself again. I'm like, God, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to rededicate it. And I go out there and by Wednesday, I done blown it again. So I can't wait for Sunday. I'm going to go back and rededicate myself again. And then on this time, Sunday evening, I got all messed up. There's no joy in it. Get lost in it. Listen. You weren't made to operate that way. So you will fail trying to operate that way. We live by Him. We don't serve God. We serve from God. Listen to what I just say. We don't serve God. That means, listen. I don't know how I can say this. Here's Brad. I use Brad. He's my guinea pig. If Brad was God and I'm over here, then I could serve Brad. I could go get Brad water. I could go wash his shoes. I could do whatever. I could serve him. He's over there. I'm here. But guys, guess what? Christ is in me, and I'm in Him, and we are one, and we're one body. My hand here, though I don't serve. You see what I mean? We serve from Him. You with me? You with me? We're His body. So when I go to minister to people, I'm ministering from God. You with me? Okay. We got to get to some points out here. Minister from God. Jesus spoke to the religious people of the day. You know this Bible here wasn't the sinners. I know you're looking at it like, what? He wrote this to church people. The sinners, they're over here. They got one message, the cross.
Yeah.
That's all they got. Once you come inside the tabernacle, now once we get inside that tabernacle, now I got a laver. I got an altar of praise and worship. I got a table to show bread. I got a table to stick. But that's inside. That ain't for the sinners. You got to come by way of the cross to get in there. So they got one message, you understand. They got a message of the cross. You need to come by the brass altar. Once you get by the brass altar, some other things that open up to you. But for right now, this is a closed book to y'all. This book's to me and you. Jesus was writing to the religious people of the day, and He said, come unto me, what? All ye that what? Are labor. That word labor means weary. All y'all that are weary and heavy laden. This is what He said. I made my Bible. He said, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, y'all need to go to church and keep the commandments. Somebody got me. He said, Amen. It does not say that. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Didn't say you had to do anything. Just come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll be your rest. There's a rest left unto the people of God. So He says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of fame. See, there's an exchange going on right here. An exchange. So this person that we just discussed over here that was fainting and fearful and heavy and worried and full of anxiety, it's all going to be gone. And it's going to be exchanged for a garment of praise. Now, I got to explain something else to you. What do we mean by garment here? What do we mean by garment? Now, the Hebrews put great stock in what they wore. Okay? It wasn't just a fashion of the day. But it was an expression of who they were. Okay? So they changed clothes, their garments, according to what was going on. I told you before, when a Hebrew, you read it in your Bible, they went to a funeral, they put on sackcloth and ashes. When they went up to Jerusalem for feast days, they put on festive clothes. So their clothes matched what they were going to do. People still do it today. Some people, I mean, mighty people, still dress up for dinner. Don't they? Some people dress up for church. Put on their best, right? We're going to church. We've got to put on our best. So that ideal is still going on here. Wear black to a funeral. I heard somebody say the other day, and I don't know how this goes, but you ain't supposed to wear white after a certain day. Is that right? Do you wear it or not wear it? You don't wear it? You can't wear it? Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the rule is. I know there's a rule about wearing white after a certain day. People live by that. You can't wear sandals. Yeah. People live by it. So these Hebrew people said, I want you to understand that when you saw this guy over here wearing his sackcloth and ashes in his hair, you knew he was in a state of grief. When you see this other guy over here wearing a Hawaii shirt and these flowers in his hair, he ain't going to San Francisco. He's going up to the temple. It's Passover. It's praise time. You with me? phrase in the scriptures. But this particular word, it had different expressions. But this one means, Joel, hate this, this one means singing praise. Not saying praise. This one means singing praise. But I got to add something to it. We can't stop right there. We can't stop right there. It's singing praise. It's a word that describes a song. There's a song to be found. I mean, in joy. You know, we don't want no sad songs. It's a song of joy. Psalm 137, sing us a song, Israel. You remember that? That Israel was known for their praise. And when they went into Babylonian captivity, the Babylonians was looking at them. And we looked and we said, oh man, we know y'all are praisers. And they say, sing us a song, Israel, sing us a song. And they said, we've hung our harps on the willows, on the weeping willows. We don't sing no happy songs in this state of being. We're in captivity. You don't sing songs from jail. This ain't Johnny Cash praise and worship. The man in black, right? This ain't that. We hung our hearts on a willow tree. But you and me, we put on this garment of song. It's the coat of melody that we've been clothed in. Now listen, just stay with me. We are a people that are clothed with a song. We put on a song. Song in your heart, you've been clothed with a song. But it's not only a song that's sung, listen to this. It's a song that is sung for a very specific reason. It's a song that you sing to give honor and glory to someone for what they've done. You with me so far? I'm singing praise to somebody who's worthy because of the actions that they've done. We got songs about heroes. We probably call them a ballad. Right, but we're singing a song. They sang the songs of David. Remember David and Saul? And Saul, Saul got the blues. Remember, he got the blues version. But David, all the pretty girls jumped up and started singing, oh, Saul, yeah, he killed a thousand. Who cares? David, he is slow and slew his 10,000s. And they danced and they sung songs. That's what kind of song this is. You've been clothed in a song. Now stay with me here. Stay with me. Go to sleep on me yet. The Psalms are songs that are sung to honor God. Great is our Lord. I mean, so many of them. I mean, we could go and go and go. It's how they understood God. I want you to know they didn't go to seminary. They understood God by the actions that He had done in their life. That's how they knew Him. I want to tell you something. That's how you first began to know God too, because it was some work. Because you didn't wake up at 5 years old and start reading the Bible. Did you? Uh-uh. Y'all might not even read it now. I don't know. But He came into your life. He invaded your territory. He invaded your space and began to work a mighty work in you long before you ever heard or saw anything. So that's what they would do. They would tell these stories. They would pass them down. I mean, they would say, okay, salvation, open up the Strong's Concordance and look, and salvation means this. They would say, salvation, sit right down there, son. Let me tell you about salvation. All of our people were in captive in Israel or in Egypt for 430 years. And they had all of these gods, and our God came down. 10 plagues wiped them out, this mighty nation of Egypt, and wiped them out. And He led us out with a strong arm. And we got to the Red Sea. We didn't know who He was. And His breath just blew all night long, and the Red Sea parted. And we walked through on dry ground, and a little six-year-old sat there and said, no way. They said, oh, yeah, this is our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We serve the living God. Sing songs, and when they got through that, what did Miriam do? As soon as she got through, she started. I mean, they look back, and all their enemies are washed up on the shore. What did they do? Had a Bible study. They sang a song of Moses. Our great God, look what He's done. All of our enemies are washed up. I mean, you want to know how much God loves us? We were in the wilderness. Man, there was no water around. We didn't know what we were going to do. There was no 7-Elevens, no Boleros. We didn't know what we were going to do. And all of a sudden, this guy named Moses takes a rod and hits a rock, and water comes out of the rock. And that rock followed us for 40 years. People missed that part. That rock that followed them in the wilderness. Because they moved. And the rock moved with them. We didn't know what we were going to eat. There was no Hardee's out there. We couldn't get breakfast. We didn't know what we were going to do. The bearded moose was closed, and here we are. And God loved us so much, He gave us manna for 40 years every day. It didn't matter if we sinned. If we didn't sin, it didn't matter. There was manna on the ground every day. Everything that God has done, now listen, all of that, those are good Bible stories, but everything that God has done has come to focus in Jesus. He's the revelation of God's love to us. He's it. When you see, listen, you want to know what God's like? Because a lot of people don't know what's God. Look at the cross. There's God's love on display. That's what God is like. You want to know what He's like? Look at the cross. That's God's love hanging there. God so loved the world, He put it on display and hung on that cross. This is how I love you. See, I thought He was sending hurricanes. Come on. I believe He says, peace be still to the hurricanes. Not old hurricane rise up and blow and wipe them out in Florida. Uh-uh. His love is made manifest in the cross of Jesus Christ. I see who God is, and that He raised Jesus from the dead. I see all creation. I mean, I read the book of Revelation. I see all creation gathered around. They're gathered around a throne. And there's one on the throne. And what, who's on the throne? A lion? A lamb as it had been slain. A lamb on the throne. A lamb. A little lamb. A bleeding lamb is on the throne as it had just been slain. And all creation is gathered around. A new song. And the new song goes something like this: Thou art worthy. Now why was He worthy? I mean, come on, just don't tell me it's worthy. Why was He worthy? Because Thou was slain.
Yeah.
You with me here? You with me? Oh man. This is His will. This is what He's done. It says to this person with heaviness and fainting and fear and mourning and sadness, it says that you are given the clothing of the song of the honor of God. Now, listen. Where do we fit in? Where do we fit in, practically speaking? This all sounds good. This is revealed in Jesus, and you know, all that you and I can do is putting on this garment of praise, is joining the song. We just joined in the song. You know what I mean? I mean, I was watching them sing up here. Joel was singing. And then all of a sudden, you guys would join in. See, there's a song that's been going on for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
A song's been going on, Joel. I mean, you ain't writing no new songs. Uh-uh. We're just joining in the song that's already been singing.
Yeah.
It might just come out. We go, oh, man, that's awesome. Listen, we're just joining in the heavenly song, the garment of praise.
Yeah.
I mean, I begin to sing that song. It's He came here. He took all that suffering and pain and darkness to Himself. He even took our death to Himself. You believe that? He took our death. Took it right to Himself. He took our enemy. Satan was our enemy. He took it. Entered into death itself. Put away sin. Wiped it out. Wiped out all the power of abuse. Put Satan under His feet in the resurrection. Yeah, He did it. Faith says, I'm going to join the song. Faith says, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing the song. Well, I mean, what song are we singing? Jesus Christ is Lord. And God raised Him from the dead.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the word of faith that we preach, isn't it?
Yes.
Who can go up to bring Christ down? Who's going to go descend into the deep to bring Him up? The word is nigh thee. Even in the mouth, the word of faith that we preach.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
I join in the song.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know because God raised him from the dead, he raised me from the dead. Yes. Oh yeah, he raised me from the dead. And now I'm set here to walk in a brand new life, walk in a newness of life. He's placed Satan under my feet. Amen. Oh yeah, he has. He has. He's already done. I'm not a battle. The battle is, do I want to go to battle or do I want to stand over here and say it's finished? Because you're wiped out, buddy. You're wiped out. You got no say anymore. Can't come in here anymore. Used to, we could, because it was given to him. But listen, Jesus came and took it back.
Yes.
All power and authority in heaven and earth is given to him.
Yes.
Now, where is Jesus? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
You with me? You got that? Christ in you. In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you.
Yes.
Guess what day that is? That's today.
Yes.
That's today. Oh, yeah. We're part of that song. You remember the shepherd and the lost sheep? Sheep's lost. Shepherd goes and gets him. Puts him on his shoulders, carries him back. And what does he say? He says, get all the clans together. Rejoice with me. Isn't that what he says? Rejoice with me. For my sheep, mine. When I read that today, I got to look, my sheep? That means I belong to somebody.
Yes.
That means I belong to, I'm a purchased possession. I don't know about you, but I've been bought. I don't even belong to me, Brad. I don't even belong to me. I'm not my own anymore. I'm not. I don't belong to me. I don't belong to you. I belong to him. Bought with some blood, some real precious blood. I have found my sheep. Now all heaven gather around because we're about to sing a song. And you know what? Oh yeah, because he did it. But I'm included right in the middle of the celebration because there would be no honor if he hadn't come and got me. So we're both here on display. Yeah, you with me? He's saying, we're saying, look at the great shepherd. Look at the sheep. Look at the great shepherd. Look at the sheep. Look, his honor is on display because you got lost. Did you just hear what I said? His honor is at stake here. But what did he do? He came and he did it. And he stands back and he says, look, you thought you could outdo me. You thought you could go to a place and I couldn't reach you, did you? You thought you could get so lost you couldn't be found. You thought you could hide from me. Now look, I got you. I got you. Carried you all the way back. You didn't take one step, Brad. You didn't take one step. I carried you back. Oh, God, I love it. Carried you back. Oh, yeah, man, that's good. It's the great exchange. We put off the spirit of heaviness for the garment of honor and praise. Listen, it was part of the covenant. I got to show you another verse here. Part of the covenant. 1 Samuel. I believe 1 Samuel is in this Bible. Yeah, 2 Samuel. Got to be a first one. There it is, yeah. In part of the covenant, what they would do, now I'm trying to hurry here. In part of the covenant, what they would do with the old covenant, they didn't make contracts, it was covenant. They would exchange something, okay? Now listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We're talking about God and Jesus. We're talking about Jesus and you. Soul was knit. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Here we go. Listen. Because he loved him as his own soul. See, there's a covenant that's been made on your behalf. Because he loved you as his own soul. Because you are a part of him. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Jonathan, the prince, Jesus, in all of his glory, stripped himself of the princely robe. That's what he did, guys. That's what he did in covenant because he loved you. He stripped himself of the princely robe. And he gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and his girdle. Jesus took everything off. This is what happened in real life. This is what Jesus took all of his glory and honor off. This is what he did. Because you and me, I brought my prop here. You and me was wearing this garment of heaviness. We were born with this garment of heaviness. We're born with this old black coat, why I wore a white shirt. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm gonna make, because I love you, David. David didn't have nothing to offer. David ain't nothing but a poor little old shepherd boy. He ain't got a thing to offer. He says, I love you. Here's what I'm gonna do. I am gonna give you my garment. You give me yours. Jesus came here, took the spirit of heaviness that you and me had, and wrapped himself up in that. The spirit of death and separation and everything, all the anxiety, he took it. And you know what he said? He said, here. You wear what I got. I've got a robe of righteousness. I've got a crown of victory. Because I love you and I'm giving this to you. I've made a covenant with myself. You got to go to battle. I'm giving you my sword. You with me here? Oh my goodness. How about the prodigal son? You remember that dude? The prodigal son goes away living with the pigs. What happens when he comes back? He comes to himself and he says, you know what? My dad's a pretty good guy over there. And even his servants have to. I'm going to go back. I mean, you got to read into this a little bit. I'm going to go back and prove to my dad that I can be a good son. I'm going to go back and we'll show him I'm going to work hard. A lot of people come into the church and that's what they think. I'm going to go show God I can work hard and I can be rededicated. And he's coming back with this mindset. I'm going to show him I'm going to work hard. And his dad sees him a great way off. And he runs to him and he starts kissing him all over. Just kissing him all over. That's what it means. He smothered him in kisses. Now this guy just got out of the pig pen. We could have run up on him and said, hang on, let's bathe him, let's wash him. But no, he runs up on him and starts kissing him all over and he starts doing all of this stuff. And then what does he say? He says, get my robe. Get my best robe. He didn't say, you know what, let's go to Walmart and buy this boy some new clothes. We ain't getting no new clothes. He's going to wear mine. And that's what Jesus has said, because there's a garment that's been woven from top to bottom without seam. There's a garment that has been made. A garment of glory, a garment of soul, a garment of praise. And he says, don't go down and get a new one. I got one made for you. It's the garment of praise. And I want to make an exchange here. I want to take all your heaviness, all your mourning, all your sorrow, and here's what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to hang it on the cross. And you think that ain't good enough. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be so dead that somebody will have to get me down off the cross and bury me. That's what they did. And I had to go back and look at the scriptures. Because every time somebody wants to come on me and put the spirit of heaviness back on me, I go back down to that tomb. And you know what? Nobody's in that tomb, but there's some grave clothes in there. Oh, yeah. I leave the dead where the dead is, Brad. Leave the grave clothes down there where they belong. Amen. Listen. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get right at you. I don't know what I got to hear. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you don't know who you are, and I'm going to read you one verse. If you don't know who you are, here's what will happen. If you don't know who you are in Christ, I got to say it that way. You'll be going, you'll leave here, and you think, man, I'm full of joy. And you'll go back out, and you'll go down here to Hardee's to get you a pop. And they'll be late on your order, and you'll get mad. Happens though. Somebody will pull out in front of you, and the spirit of heaviness will start easing back. You'll go to work tomorrow, and things won't go right. And what it is, you'll be tempted to pick back up the spirit of heaviness because you don't know who you are. And you'll put it back on, and before you know it, you're just another broke-down Christian because you didn't know who you was. Paul would say it this way. He would say, put off malice. Put away bitter and anger. Put it on. You know what he said? He said, throw it down right now. Don't even touch it. Get rid of it. It's a garment of heaviness. Put it down. Get rid of it. Throw it down right now. Put ye on Christ. Put on Christ. You've been clothed. These are they that have made their robes white. I live in the acknowledgement that it's finished. It's over. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's dressed me. And you know what? I'm going to a funeral. The funeral's not over with. I'm going to a great celebration. Already, that's where we are. Now let me read you this. This is out of the Message Bible.
Yes.
Yes. This is out of the That's just Bible. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians. You got to be fast. Yes. He's got a demon. This. Right out of the Message Bible, this is it. This is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11 to 14. Dear Corinthians. Dear Anchor church members. Dear Rhythms of Grace. Dear. Talking to me. Hear me. Dear Corinthians. I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide open, spacious life. Can't tell you, this is Paul writing. Can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide, open, spacious life. You know, you feel like you're narrow or in a cave somewhere and it's pressing in on you on all sides and you feel confined in the spirit of heaviness. And Paul says, man, I can't wait. I'm longing for you to enter into this spacious, wide open life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. All of us are guilty, Patty. All of us are guilty. We're all living. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and we live like we're a bunch of pauper beggars. You're the King's son. Open up your lives. Live openly. Live expansively.
Yes.
Live in the openness of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Listen. You shall know the truth. And the truth won't set you free. No. The truth will make you free. See, I can set you free and you'll be back in jail tomorrow because you've got a criminal mindset. But if I make you free, that means I have come and I have made something brand new. I took the old Joel Horn that used to be a mess and a criminal and he was dead in trespasses and sins, and I made a brand new creature. That's who we are. Now, I want to tell you this. We all of us, here we are as the church. The church. There's just one church. The body of Jesus Christ. I thank you so much for this honor of coming and being up here with you guys today. But listen, we together can change this place. We together can, Brad. We can. And listen, it's shame on us if we don't. Shame on us if we don't. I'm tired of seeing all the drugs. I'm tired of seeing the bullying. I'm tired of seeing the suicides. I'm tired of it. This is our community. Everywhere the sole of your foot touches, I've given it to you. Everywhere. Our souls right here are marching around this place. And what are we doing? We have the words of life out of the heart. The mouth speaks. And you can bring life into the situation, or you can bring death, or worse of all, nothing at all. Brothers and sisters, we've done nothing. But I'm telling you, it's time for us to get up. Tina. And let's pray over them because He's got to draw from the same source as we do.
Yes.
You know? And I know how it gets trying to pastor and trying to do the things that you do, and you get worn out, you get broke down, and you need sometimes hands laid on you, and you need to be stirred up. So we're just going to pray over y'all. If y'all want to, just everybody come together around.